Ali Boston, we have joked in the past about what your exact title is and how whatever the title is, it's incomplete because you're the office manager, you're the wardrobe goddess, you're the warehouse manager, you're the...
On contract, I'm the company manager.
Company manager. Yes, you do a lot of company management as well. But on top of everything else, you're our travel agent.
I am. Expedia is my best friend.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 319, Arranging Our Flights. Children, let me tell you a story. Years ago, there used to be things called travel agents, and they were paid by the airlines to help travelers make their travel arrangements so the airlines didn't have to deal with them. But then with the rise of the intranet, suddenly everybody could do it, which has made things much more complicated and expensive. Or are we saving money? How does it... What's been your experience?
Well, we're not saving money beyond what we used to pay because flights have gotten so much more expensive.
Yeah.
But we're not paying someone else.
Right.
The airlines stopped paying travel agents, and it then became a cost that the RSC had to bear.
Right.
So we weren't saving any money. We were spending more money. So on top of flights, we had to pay someone to book the flights.
Right.
So it just kind of evolved that I started booking flights instead.
Well, and one reason it evolved is that you're so good at it. I remember a couple of years ago at a meeting, we asked you something about something, and you just started typing it into Google. And Reed and I both looked at each other like we were complete morons. Like, oh, well, we could have typed it into Google. But
well, and I have an iPhone. And anything that comes to my mind, I wonder what if I'll just start typing mid-conversation. I am listening, I promise. But I'm also finding out the answer to what we talked about 2 minutes ago.
Right. So what is the most... Where do you start when you're putting... I mean, flying us, for instance, from our various places to, say, Chicago or, say, Washington, D.C., that's pretty easy. But it's got to... Or is that easy? And then does it get more complicated when we're going different places?
Flying us from our various home airports to, say, Chicago, to New York... to Dallas, Texas. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
But when we start getting into the smaller airports, the regional, not the internationals, and even some of the smaller international airports, it starts adding connections and hours of travel time, not flying time, but travel time to our days.
Right. And you were saying, you said Expedia is your friend as a joke, but really, Expedia is one of those services online, travel services online, like Priceline, like Kayak?
Kayak is more of a flight finder, and then you go to the individual flights to book at Priceline, same thing. Orbitz and Expedia, you can book the flight straight through them.
Right.
And I use Kayak. I go straight to the airline's websites to see what best price is, but often I find myself booking through Expedia.
Okay.
They have a fantastic customer service.
Mm.
And a few Januaries ago when we had our winter storm on the East Coast and trying to get people from point A to point B, and we ended up going through, you know, points C, D, and E to get there.
Yeah.
Train, plane, automobile at one point.
Yeah.
I was able to, when Jenny woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, I was able to call Expedia, and they have a different line to get to the airlines. So I can put myself on their mercy, and they will figure it out for us.
Oh, that's really great. Because on top of everything else, you do that in the office, then you do it on the road when you're on the road with us. But then, in the case of that blizzard, you were at home in California. We were in Pittsburgh trying to get to Atlanta, and that blizzard was shutting things down. And so you got the call in the middle of the night and had to and we're dealing with it as we traveled to wherever we were traveling.
While you were on your first connection, I think, to get to Where did you go? You got to Newark to get on a train to go to Baltimore to fly to Birmingham.
Right.
Missing two shows in the process, but that's okay. They were snowed out anyway.
Yes, right. The venue. And actually, the one place we actually made it, but they canceled the show.
They canceled the show because, as we found out when we went back to them a few months later, when we actually got to do the date, that they had lots of small highways.
Yeah.
And so patrons, it wouldn't have been safe for them to be out on the roads.
Yeah.
Even if you had arrived in Birmingham, there was no getting to
the venue. And so Expedia and Orbitz, that's better than going directly to the airline websites generally?
Usually it's about the same price. Sometimes I'll book directly through the airline's website. And since I also help Jane, our general manager, with the budget, I go for the almost cheapest possible point. No, the cheapest possible in most cases, I gotta say, which is why it took Austin three planes to get to Anchorage, and honestly, why it took me three planes to get from Dallas to Charlotte at Thanksgiving.
I know. Well, and Rippy and I were just joking about this. To get to Anchorage, Alaska, I flew from Chicago to New York, LaGuardia. So that was flying east. Then I flew back west to Denver. Then I flew northwest up to Anchorage. It took me 15 hours total travel time. Now, when Rippy leaves Anchorage to fly back to London, it will only take him 17 hours. So anyway, that's even a lot longer.
But really, be glad I picked United for your flight.
Yeah.
Because it would have been $50 cheaper if I put you on Delta, and they wanted you to go from Chicago to Atlanta to Denver to Anchorage.
Right. So for the extra $50, I got
extra $50. You didn't have to go to Atlanta.
And I have so many miles on United. Actually, I get to pick economy plus seating, so that works.
So you had like an inch more of knee room, huh?
No, I got the bulkhead seats these
times. Ooh, bulkheads are nice.
Yes, we're living large. It's all these tricks that we've learned. What sort of tricks have you learned in doing this? I know that you said sometimes that Tuesdays are a good day to be looking for prices going down, or they have price wars on Tuesdays. Is that right?
Tuesdays are a good day to book. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it seems. By Thursday, the prices have started to climb for the weekend.
Okay.
By Monday, they're starting to settle down, but Tuesday seems to be the lowest price.
Okay.
I start looking at ticket prices 6 weeks out from our venue date,
okay,
or from our travel date, and I usually end up booking two or three weeks before we fly, but I watch prices because sometimes it's a fantastic sale going on, you know, on United's website, and
right,
I'll book all of them that day.
Well, and how do you watch? Do you have browser windows open to all the websites and you just keep clicking on it, hitting refresh, or do you have Google alerts? Do you do anything like that?
I have flight alerts. I set up through Expedia and through Kayak. So the travel alerts, they come up through Expedia and they come up through Kayak. But also just every, you know, Tuesday morning when I'm at the office, which has been really rare lately. But in general, I'm at the office more than I have been since September. On a Tuesday morning, I'll just look and see where things are.
Right. And why 6 weeks out? Like, for instance, we know, 6 months in advance sometimes. Is there any advantage to saying, okay, great, we're going in March, we're going to this town, I'll just buy the tickets now?
Well, as sometimes happens in our schedule, things change quickly.
Right.
Somebody gets a commercial. We're not going to say, no, you can't do that commercial for Volkswagen, Michael J. Faulkner. You have to go to St. Louis. We're not going to do that. So
you're right. And you used to be able to just kind of, all right, I'll take your ticket and go.
I'll take your ticket and go. But no, it has to be that person's name. It has to be from the right airport. And to do even a change is between $100 and $200 just to change the ticket. You can't change the name. Just change it to a different date, different flight.
Right. And sometimes when we, like, on that winter blizzard trip, when Expedia was rerouting us, don't we get refunds? Are we able to get refunds when a leg of a flight is not taken?
You can get flight credits, and then you have to, you can apply them to later travel.
Right.
For instance, last January we were supposed to go to Yakima, Washington with the sports show.
Right.
And that didn't happen.
It's going to happen this January.
It is. It's going to happen this January instead. But we had we had booked the flights. It was a very last-minute cancellation. So we had these flight credits, and I was able, because they were with Alaska, apply those to who flew Alaska. I was able to apply them to my flight and to Reed's flight to lower our prices a little bit.
Okay.
for this.
Okay.
It took a lot to get us up here to Anchorage.
I would imagine. The Alaskan audiences are so grateful when people come up and perform. I mean, over and above their admiration for the show, they just say, oh, but thank you so much for coming up. Which I would think, well, why wouldn't you take the opportunity to come up to Alaska? But apparently it's expensive and complicated.
It's expensive and complicated, but it's beautiful and totally worth it.
Hi, I'm Chris Rawson, chairman of the American Theater Critics Association, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We start traveling again this week with performances in Yakima, Washington this weekend and Hamilton, Bermuda next week. Then nothing in February, returning with performances in Scottsdale, Arizona and Moorhead, Minnesota in March. And then we begin a 12-week tour of Great Britain with the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, revised, starting the first week in April. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my chat with Ali Bosted backstage in Anchorage, Alaska, recorded just before Christmas as she wrapped gift exchange presents and fought off bronchitis.
Does it get more difficult, for instance, like if we fly into Boston for some New England dates, but then we rent a van and we drive down to Washington, D.C., and we all fly home out of Washington, D.C., is that hard to fly us to Boston, then fly us one way to Boston, and then fly us one way from Washington, D.C.? I mean, in this post-9/11 age, do they people look at that strangely anymore? Is that more expensive than a round trip?
That's a multiple destination travel.
Ah.
In that particular case, Boston and D.C., doing a multiple destination isn't an issue. It's not going to be more expensive. But if it was a smaller airport, if it was Charlotte,
right,
it would be cheaper and easier to book a series of one-way travel. So then we would have a different confirmation number to have to use. So a little more complicated itinerary-wise for us.
Right.
But cheaper and easier rather than having to pay massive fees for the smaller airports. Multiple destination ticket.
Right.
So.
Well, and that's the problem, too. Sometimes it's like, oh, there's a nice small airport that's right there in that tiny community. But there's fewer flights, and it's way more expensive.
It's way more expensive. Reed and I both live in Sonoma, and we have a Sonoma County airport in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Alaska flies in to the Santa Rosa airport. It would have been $600 more for our tickets for Reed and I to fly out of Santa Rosa, which is half an hour from our houses.
Yeah.
Rather than San Francisco, which is, you know, with the airport and everything, it takes me 2 hours to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was one reason when we moved from Los Angeles to Chicago. I didn't want to live anywhere that was farther away than a half an hour from an airport with all the traveling I do. So what's better and easier for you, arranging flights all over the country or doing 3 weeks in New England or 3 weeks in the Midwest where we just all rent two vans and just drive?
It's certainly easier when we do a fly somewhere and drive for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I get to rent the minivan. There's a Chrysler. Let's see, what is it? It's the Touring Grand Caravan.
Mm.
The running lights are blue. It's a nice van.
And one sweet ride.
I mean, if one has to drive a minivan, I would choose that one.
Uh-huh.
And it was lots of fun when I got to drive that, and Austin got to drive the, was it a Ford Focus that was a former fleet vehicle, so it had the limiter at 65 miles an hour?
Yeah.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah. Boy, I think we're still driving that trip. It took us forever to get there. No, I do. The only reason I don't like those is that when we're driving, I like to drive. I don't mind driving. And there are other people in the company who don't like to drive. But I like to drive when we're driving. Now, the only problem with that is that means that's my day. I'm driving. I can't get anything else accomplished except driving and recording the occasional podcast while I'm driving.
Well, one nice thing about that, when we're driving and driving, I also prefer to drive. I make my business phone calls while I drive.
Yeah.
I have my little headset, you know, the little earbud.
So you're safe and legal.
Safe and legal in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get a lot of advancing calls done. You know, I have to ask them to email me a summary of what we talked about because I can't write down scrawled notes on my lap as
right,
we drive.
Right.
But I get a lot of those calls done.
Yeah.
And if I talk quietly, I don't wake up whoever's in the passenger seat,
uh-huh,
whoever's not navigating.
Yes, right, when they should be navigating. Well, and on top of having to get all the people to the various venues that we go to, you have to get the stuff to the places we go to. And that became a bit of a challenge, this trip up here to Anchorage. Last week we were in St. Louis, and then we had a couple of days, 3 days off, and then there was, and then we were supposed to be in here in Anchorage. But what happened to our trunks?
We finished in St. Louis on Saturday. FedEx doesn't pick up on Sunday. So FedEx picked up Monday, like they were supposed to, at like 2 p.m. Our trunks were picked up. I thought, fantastic. I shipped them today, which means they were meant to arrive at the theater in Anchorage on Wednesday. Would have been it's expensive to get stuff all the way up here, just like people, but it would have been fine. And then checked Tuesday morning while Jane and I were doing bills, and they were departing, what did it say? Departing Indianapolis. And I thought, well, that's weird. I'm not sure why they went to Indiana, because they were closer to Tennessee, but, you know, these things happen.
Right.
And then I looked again Tuesday afternoon, and they were still in Indianapolis. And then Wednesday morning, the day that we flew, it said that they were in Memphis, Tennessee. I thought, great, they're on their way. And then I checked again on the airport or on the drive down to San Francisco, and they were back in Indianapolis.
Oh, damn.
So I had been making phone calls to check that what I was seeing online, you can check the status, that was accurate. And yes, it was, in fact, accurate. And no one could tell me why they hadn't gotten onto a plane yet. And they were still showing up on time, which is something that really got me, because there was no way they were going to get to Anchorage by 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday if it was already 2:30 p.m. in Anchorage and they were in Indianapolis. So I had a status update that they were going to be flagged, and I had described everything in detail. We have red and green trunks and a big stupid cardboard box. It's really hard to miss, and everybody, all the FedEx drivers, hate our packages because they're so very, very heavy and awkward.
Right.
So they couldn't miss our things.
Right.
I spoke to a very nice woman named Lorita who flagged everything for me, and I let her know that I was getting on a plane, and I would check again when we landed in Seattle in a couple hours. So I called and I spoke to a man named Moses. And
let my packages go, you cried.
I thought, great, fantastic. Moses, help me. And no, our stuff was still in Indianapolis. And I explained again, and he made sure that it was in the notes, and they had my cell phone number for a status update. And I told him I was getting on a plane in Seattle. I was going to call again when I got to Anchorage in 4 hours. And I called when we got to Anchorage. And our stuff was still on the ground in Indianapolis.
This was now a midnight Anchorage time.
Midnight Anchorage time, which means 4 a.m. in Indianapolis where our trunks were sitting.
Right.
And I let them know I needed to know a status update right away. They couldn't get a hold of anyone. They were closed in Indianapolis.
Right.
So I asked them to call as soon as they opened, which would have been 3 a.m. Anchorage time, my time. But you know what? I will answer the phone. You have to tell me who you are a couple of times, but I'll answer the phone in my sleep. Set my alarm for 3, thinking, don't want to be drowsy, you want to get information.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody called. So at 3:15, I called them.
Uh-huh.
And I was put on hold for about 10 minutes. While they tried to contact someone, because you can't call a depot directly, you have to call the main center and then they connect you,
right.
Or they won't even let you talk to the main center.
Right.
You have to have a go-between. And we went. I waited, and they said, "Well, they're getting on a plane." I said, "Okay. Well, is the plane in the air yet?" "Well, no, the plane's not in the air yet, but they're on a plane." So, okay.
Oh,
waited, and eventually I got tired of being on the phone on hold, so I hung up. And just started checking the status every 10 minutes, refreshing the status on online. And at 3:42 a.m. Anchorage time, our trunks went from Indianapolis to in transit.
Oh.
So they were on their way to Anchorage, fingers crossed.
Yes.
So went to sleep for a couple of hours, woke up at 6 because can't even blame it on the sun coming in my window here,
Boy,
I was up at 6.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's 7 a.m. home time, so that's
right.
Why. And I called again and was told they were still in transit. And I had to be over at the theater for a load-in at 10 a.m. And I thought, well, I hope we can load something in.
Right.
You know, we can focus lights a little bit, but all the props and costumes are busy.
And the drop.
And the drop and all the Christmas lights and the... the tree, the bane of my existence. So thinking, okay, well, I bet there's a thrift store somewhere in Anchorage, and I know there's a JCPenney, so what can we get, what could we cobble together a show? And this show is unique in that it's kind of cobbled together anyway.
Right, and that's the point of the show, is that we're cobbling it together.
We're cobbling it together, and, you know, I'm pretty good with hot glue and Velcro. I can do a lot.
Right.
So thinking, okay, if they're not here by noon, I start shopping. And at 9:45, I was finishing my oatmeal, and our status went from in transit, so on a plane, to out for delivery, Anchorage, Alaska.
Hey.
And I nearly collapsed in a puddle at the breakfast table. And you know what? When the FedEx guy showed up at 11 o'clock at the theater, while we've been standing around waiting for something to do, I very nearly kissed that gentleman.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Allie successfully fought off the bronchitis, by the way. She also said she relies heavily on the Expedia app for her iPhone and iPad, which allows her to keep track of not only the status of her flights, but everyone else's flights as well. I use TripIt, which is enormously helpful for keeping all of my travel info all in one place. Send us your travel tips via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, household travel coordinator Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Trey Johnson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Chris Rawson, chairman of the American Theater Critics Association. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 319/957 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And did you ever get any explanation why they went to Indianapolis and took some?
Mechanical delays. Don't they own more than one plane?
I would imagine. And do we get a refund? We paid for 2 days' air.
Well, I won't be paying for 2 days' air.
Right.
I can tell you that.
Right.
But right. I've been a little busy and a little froggy, so I'll be calling them next week.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.